الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I thought of distributing today's lecture among two things that are relevant. One is the preparation that we ought to be making for the month of Ramadan, and the other was the prescriptions that the Quran Sharif and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us with regards to what should be done in the current climatic conditions. Everyone is giving us prescriptions about what should be done. Different economists tell us that if the interest rate goes up, then this is what consumers should be doing. This is how they will make up. Because everyone will agree that prices have gone through the roof. Many people are contemplating suicide. Just yesterday we had a person who came to the offices and he says he's now tired because of financial strain and he's going to stand in the middle of the road and let the car run over him. Now, a Muslim is not supposed to utter statements like that. No matter what type of difficulty, what type of constraints come upon him, a Muslim is supposed to be all the time, his focus must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the solution to all these problems, Islam has given it to us. That is a dalil, it is a proof to show that Islam is the true religion. There is not an aspect of our lives that Islam has not touched upon or guided us about with regards to what should be done. But provided we learn, we understand, we have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we are going to displease, disobey, then my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, Khuda ki sarkashi mein khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. Khuda ki sarkashi se khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. Kabhi Allah walon se nahi aisa suna jata. And these verses of poetry, they are something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said. Sometimes it is important for us to clarify that Nabi alayhi salatu, the Quran Sharif says, وَالشُعَرَى يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ. The poets, those who are astray, follow them. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not teach you poetry and we did not, it was not even appropriate for you to learn poetry. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif that inna min ash-shi'ri hikmatan. There are many verses of poetry in which there is a lot of wisdom as well. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself told Hazrat Hassan ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to stand on the minbar and say verses of poetry, and 100 verses of poetry he said on that occasion. So these verses of poetry are something, so long as it does not contain words of shirk, it is just to explain something, then there is nothing wrong. So many Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum were poets. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his one verse of poetry, Ilahi abdukal asi ataka, Ilahi abdukal asi ataka, muqirrum bidhunubi wa qad da'aka, fa in tarham fa anta ahlum bidhaka, wa in tadrud, fa may yarham siwaka. So this was the poem of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Ilahi abdukal asi ataka. That, oh Allah, your sinful servant has come to you. Muqirrum bidhunubi wa qad da'aka. And he is confessing about his sins and he is making dua to you. فَإِن تَرْحَمْ فَأَنْتَ أَهْلٌ بِذَاكَ. And if you forgive him and have mercy upon him, then you are worthy of that. That this is what you are for forgiveness. وَإِن تَتْرُدْ فَمَنْ يَرْحَمْ سِوَاكَ. And if you have to chase us away, chase me away, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is saying, then who is going to have mercy besides you? So these verses of poetry, there's a lot of wisdom in it. And many, many Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum are poets. So here in this verse of poetry, he says, that Khuda ki sarkashi se khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. That in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then despite having everything on the outside, khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. Despite having maal, lots of wealth, lots of empires, lots of treasures. But he will have whispers of committing suicide. He will contemplate committing suicide. And not only contemplate, many of them commit suicide. A few weeks ago I read in one of the papers, it wasn't a local paper, a foreign newspaper, where some supermodel jumped off a building, I think it was in New York or New Jersey, one of the countries. Now they earn something like $20 million, $30 million they earn. Can there be anyone more happier than them if happiness was found in money? But then why then do they contemplate committing suicide? Why do they commit suicide? And this sickness is coming into the believers as well. That yesterday I said about that person. So Khuda ki sarkashi se khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. If we are not going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will commit suicide, even though we have got plenty of things to give us comfort, outward comfort. Kabhi Allah walo se nahi aisa suna jata. But you would have never heard that the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the day of Qiyamah, you will never hear that such a person ever commits suicide or contemplates committing suicide or the thought even crosses his mind. Because he is happy with the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is happy with the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, very, very quickly, there is not much time on a Jummah occasion. But these two things I thought that we should speak about. One was the preparation of the month of Ramadan and the current economic climate that is really a global issue at the moment. Some people think that perhaps it is only in South Africa, but all over the world, people, someone told me in Turkey, are paying almost 18 or 20 rands for a liter of petrol, the equivalent of. So it shows where it can lead up to. Nevertheless, with regards to the preparation of the month of Ramadan, we all know that it is but 2 fortnights away. The month of Ramadan is only 2 fortnights away. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started preparing for the month of Ramadan well in advance. From the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would already start making the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That, oh Allah, grant us blessings in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. For which of us has a guarantee that we will ever reach the month of Ramadan? Which of us has a guarantee? There are so many of us, so many who were sitting amongst us last year, but they are not amongst us anymore. And there will be perhaps many people in the ummah who are alive today, and they will not live to see the month of Ramadan. So therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our lives until the month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Now this preparation for the month of Ramadan, what is it all about? Of course, there is the physical preparation which our mothers and sisters do. There are special Ramzan shopping trips that are made to the supermarkets. The freezers are also stocked up. But surely the preparation of the month of Ramadan is not limited to that. Surely there must be something else. After all, the life of a Muslim and his objective and purpose is not so narrow. His objective of being sent into this world, his objective of the month of Ramadan in itself, surely it is not limited to having a good meal in the morning and a good meal in the evening and praying a little bit after Isha. It should not be limited to that. Nabi alayhi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran Sharif that the month of Ramadan was so that we can attain this quality of taqwa. In other words, so that the entire 100% deen, our full religion, can come into our lives. Now just as our deen has got five pillars, kalima, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, just as our deen has got five pillars, there are also five branches of our deen, which the ulama have explained. One is our aqaid, our beliefs. And it covers various aspects of our beliefs. That we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is how He is with all His qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger, final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the Torah, in the Injil, as they were revealed to their beloved prophets. We believe in all those things. So one branch of deen is our aqaid, our beliefs. The other branch of deen is our ibadat, our zakat, our hajj, our salah. All these things, these are parts of deen. The other branch of deen is our mu'amalat. Our mu'amalat. In fact, the explanations that have been given by the jurists with regards to our mu'amalat, our economic transactions, our financial dealings with people, is sometimes more intense than even our ibadat. I'm talking about what the jurists have explained in the kitabs. So that is also a part of our deen. And if you have to look at this kitab that they study in the Alim course, then only one part of it, there are four parts, four volumes, and only one volume deals with our ibadat. The other three volumes of the kitab deal with our mu'amalat, which is the third branch of deen which I was speaking about, with mu'asharat, which is our social conduct, our marital affairs, how we behave with our wife and children, how we behave with our neighbors, with those who sit next to us. The Quran Sharif has gone into so much of explanation about who has rights. And then last of all, the last branch, the fifth branch, our akhlaq, our character. Now, when we say that the person has got a good character, or he is, we normally limit it to the fact that perhaps he is well-mannered. He always greets with a smile on his face. He talks politely. Indeed, these are all aspects of good character. But in Sharia, in Islam, good character and akhlaq is not limited to this. It comes from the word khuluq, which has an internal implication. Khuluq has an internal implication in the Sharia. In other words, the person's heart must be clean of bughz, of adawat, of enmity, of hasad and jealousy. Otherwise, what good is it if a person greets you with a smiling face, but his heart is full of jealousy? So this is what akhlaq is. It has a much more broader connotation than just being well-mannered or speaking politely. So this month of Ramadan that is coming about, it is for us to bring these five branches of our deen into our lives. Unfortunately, life is becoming such that we consider to some extent our aqaid and our ibadat to be part of deen. But our mu'amalat, our economic dealings, financial transactions, our social dealings, and our character. Our character, how we deal with the next Muslim brother, how we speak to him, what type of feelings and thoughts we have about him in our heart. That seems to be totally neglected. Now, with regards to the preparation for the month of Ramadan, if we can even just know this much, that these are also parts of deen. We don't even know and recognize them as being parts of deen. If we at least recognize them to be parts of deen, then we can start working on them. We can start then preparing ourselves and try and bring all these branches of deen into our lives so that we will become complete and we are able to practice upon the verse of the Quran Sharif that udkhulu fis silmi kaffa, that enter into Islam, O believers, completely. Enter into Islam completely. Islam is not something that is limited only to the masjid. And Ramadan is not only about fasting. It is not only about performing your Taraweeh Salah. It is about everything. Bringing this complete deen, implementation of the quality of taqwa, acquisition of this quality of taqwa. And if we acquire during the month of Ramadan, and it means all these things, taqwa means all these things. If we acquire it, then it means that we had prepared adequately for the month of Ramadan. And our month of Ramadan was successful. And if we don't, then our preparations were inadequate and our objective was not achieved. Basically, mission failed. So that was one aspect. The other aspect which I just want to run through very, very quickly, a few prescriptions through which we can, you know, survive through these trying economic times. The Quran Sharif is such, and our deen is such, that it has given us an answer to every question, to every difficulty that we are going to go through. So the first thing that the Quran Sharif tells us, that in difficult times, and in fact not in difficult times, all the time the Muslims' expenditure, the true servant of the Most Merciful, in the 19th Sipara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a whole lot of qualities about the true servants of the Most Merciful. Those who are real bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not bat an eyelid. They do not ask why or what is the wisdom behind a certain deal, behind a certain ruling or regulation of the Sharia. They accept it wholeheartedly. So one of the qualities are, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. That when they spend, they are not spendthrift, they are not extravagant. They do not spend on things that are non-essentials. Especially in times that we are living in. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, but at the same time they are not miserly. They are not miserly. That they do not spend anything at all on their children and their families. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. And they maintain a balance between the two extremes. So in today's times of economic difficulties, economic challenges, they say the global recession is taking place. So is it necessary now for us to still, I shouldn't even say invest, or we can say invest in the liabilities of a television? Is it a necessity to invest in the liabilities of a television, of TV licenses? Cannot we save in these avenues as per the teachings of the Quran Sharif? Is it necessary for us to spend thousands or hundreds of thousands or sometimes even millions of rands on wedding preparations, thousands of rands on the printing of cards? Is it necessary in these times of difficulty? It shouldn't be the case at any time, but more so in these times of difficulty. So nevertheless, this was one prescription. There's no time to go into too much of detail, but another prescription which Allah subhanahu, I mean, we listen to all the prescriptions given to us by so many economists and everyone else. What about the prescriptions given to us by the Creator, by our Creator, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one ayat of the Quran Sharif, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. The second prescription of, for surviving through these difficult times. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, make istighfar, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forgiving, He is very, very forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. And as a benefit of this istighfar, He will send the skies, will pour about upon you abundance of rain. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you financially and with manpower. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you gardens and grant you rivers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith said, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That the person who holds firmly onto istighfar, he seeks forgiveness of the sins that he has committed in his life. He is not obstinate. He is not persistent upon those sins that he commits. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And it is not a fairy tale. I mean, these are things that need to be implemented in one's life to see the effects. A person can write a whole thesis on the taste of sugar, but the reader will never be able to experience it until he tries a spoonful of sugar. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who holds firm onto istighfar, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness from his sins. جَعْلَ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا. From every gham that he has, every depression that he has, he will find a way out, an opening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him joy and happiness. وَمِنْ كُلِّ ذِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. And from every constrained situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find him a way out. The earth will no more be narrow upon him. He will no more contemplate suicide. وَرَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him risk and sustenance from places that he had never even thought about. So that is another prescription. Very quickly, just one more prescription. Otherwise, there are many prescriptions in the Quran and the Hadith. Another prescription, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, that will help us to survive through these trying times. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That the person who adopts the quality of taqwa, in other words, he does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him to do, and he abstains from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him to abstain from. Both he needs to do. To do and the don'ts. To do those things which he is commanded to do, and to abstain from those things which he is commanded to abstain from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out from every difficulty for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And again, the same promise as was the promise for istighfar. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will grant him sustenance from places that he had never even thought about, that sustenance was going to come from these places. So aren't these also prescriptions, guidelines, teachings of the Quran and Hadith that we ought to be implementing in our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, guidance to practice upon what is being said. May He remove the problems and the difficulties, economic, social, all types of difficulties that the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering with throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and prolong our lives till the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.